You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director of GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Monday, March 29th. Our subject today is civil and respectful dialogue, especially when it comes to politics. And as we all know, that seems to be something that's getting harder to do. We're really pleased today to be joined by three members of a nationwide organization known as Briever Angels. The organization was founded in 2016 to promote a more and better civil dialogue between Americans. As anyone who has even slightly followed politics, especially on the national level, we've seen people struggling to communicate across ideological lines in a way that at least respects the other side's point of view, even if agreement is sometimes elusive around that. The division and polarization makes coming up with common sense, compromise, and problem solving even more difficult. So with us today to discuss the work of Braver Angels and to tell us what they've been seeing, Shauna Rotner, she is a member of the Franklin County Alliance, and Daniel Pipes, who is also a member of the Franklin County Alliance of the Braver Angels. Also very pleased to have with us today Muhammad Amar, who's a student at Bennington College and who is looking to help get started a Bennington County chapter. So Daniel, Shauna, and Muhammad, thank you all for making the time to be with us today. Really appreciate you being with us. So, Shauna, let's start. Let's have you get us started here. Tell us a little bit about the Braver Angels and how it was that you came to be involved in the Franklin County Alliance.
I will do that. Thank you, Andrew. So, Braver Angels, as you mentioned, is a national group committed to promoting civil and civic dialogue among people who have opposite and different political views, right? So I got involved because after the election in 2016, I was very aware and of hearing a lot of demonization, and we all heard it, from both sides of the aisle, people saying, you know, how could those people possibly dot, dot, dot? I wouldn't sit in the same room with those people, blah, blah, blah. Just a lot of that kind of language. And I thought, you know, this isn't good. It isn't good for democracy. It isn't good for our civic life. It isn't good. And it isn't going to lead to being able to solve the many problems that we face as a country. And I have a long professional career dedicated to solving problems and showing what's possible. And so it became clear to me that this was going to eclipse lots of possibilities. If all people could do was throw names at each other and close doors in each other's faces, this was not going to be productive. So I thought about what I could do to try to address it, and I'm only one person, we're each only one person. And so I figured I had pretty good facilitation skills, I could create a safe space, I could bring people together and try to help them have those kinds of conversations. What I didn't know was that there was another organization beginning to operate nationally with very much the same vision and the same goals. And when I found out about them, they were then called Better Angels, now Braver Angels. And I called them and said, hey, you know, a friend of mine heard about you on the radio, suggested I call you and find out what you're doing. And they said, well, we're starting a bus tour and we're going to be going through the Northeast. And how would you like to be on the bus tour? And I said, okay. So that put St. Albans, Vermont on the bus tour as the only rural stop really on that entire tour. And that meant that we had to put something together because the bus was coming to town. So that was probably March or April of 2017. The bus rolled in July 2017. Over those months, we organized about 60 people of across the political spectrum to come together. And we had a dinner at Martha's Kitchen, which is a soup kitchen in St. Albans, served by legislators, including the then lieutenant governor. And then we went to City Hall and we had two workshops. One was a workshop on learning skills to bridge the divide, and probably about 30 people or so attended that. And the other was what's called a red-blue workshop, where we had half people who lean red or conservative and half people who lean blue or liberal. And I co-facilitated that workshop with David Blankenhorn, who is the CEO of Braver Angels National. And we held those workshops. They were well received. And at the end of the workshop that I co-facilitated, I asked folks, would you like to continue? And we had had a really interesting session, lasted, I think, 2.5 or 3 hours. And everyone to a person said, yeah, we'd like to continue. And so I said, okay, well, how often would you like to meet? And the group said, we'd like to meet once a quarter. So we have been meeting once a quarter, sometimes a little bit more frequently, but since July of 2017.
So, Dan, how did you happen to become involved in this group?
Well, Sean and I are neighbors, and we have known each other for years, and we respectfully and politely disagree on just about anything when it gets into the political realm, and we still have managed to remain friends and, get to know each other and respect each other as human beings. And Shauna basically said, hey, Dan, I'm thinking about this. I'm putting together a group. Would you be interested? And I said, sure, I'll give it a try. And I really found from the first meeting that the common ground that is found in these gatherings is it surprises you. I think it surprises all of us, and that's really valuable.
And much needed, I'm sure. So over to you, Amar. You're trying to get an alliance comparable to what Dan and Shauna have going on in St. Albans or Franklin County down here in our corner of the state.
Yeah, so I think for me, the process started, I'm an international student here at Bennington College. So I'm what's known by the IRS and by the Social Security people as a non-resident alien. And so as a non-resident alien, when I traveled to the US during the pandemic last year in October, I feel like I was very surprised to see the level of polarization across the US based on what I was following in national news and otherwise, but also right next to me in our college campus and in our larger county. I feel like there is this huge divide between blues or liberals and reds or conservatives. And as someone who's been studying conflict resolution as part of my college degree, I thought, well, what can we do about this? Surely there's ways to engage in a dialogue, even with someone who doesn't agree with what you think politically, or who's casting a different ballot in the election. And so I found out about Braver Angels through a professor of mine who forwarded me some of their details. And I ended up attending a few of their workshops and something known as a Braver Angels debate, which isn't really a debate. It's more of a space where people can get together and understand each other and engage in more of a dialogue between each other. And so looking at all of those, I felt like I need to start working on something within here, especially to bridge this partisan divide, but also to bridge the gap that exists in almost any college town where the snobbish college students or perceived to be snobbish college students are very distinct or considered very distinct from the local town's population who've been there for a while. So that's what I've been working on.
Is there some starting point where you can begin to have that dialogue where you don't wind up calling each other bad names by the time you're finished? And I'll let any one of you who wants to respond to that just jump in.
I'll start and then you guys can feel free to jump in. In the work that we do and in the workshops that we hold to try to help people understand how to have these conversations, we introduce 4 sets of skills. And the first set of skills has to do with tone setting. How do you set the tone for a respectful conversation, right? And part of that, I'm not going to go through every skill, but part of that is letting the person know that you'd like to have a respectful conversation and that you recognize that their views are not the same as yours. And then the other piece is asking their permission, saying, would it be okay if I ask you a few questions about how you came to believe what you believe? At that point, they have the opportunity to say, no, I don't want to have that conversation with you, right? Which is a whole lot more respectful than pushing something on someone who really doesn't want it, right? On the other hand, they might say, yeah, I'd be happy to have you ask me some questions. And if you could, if you then know how to ask questions, which is another set of skills that we teach, right? And you know how to listen, which is the third set of skills, right? Then you can proceed to have a pretty decent conversation. And the fourth set of skills is knowing how to get out if, before it goes south, right? Knowing how to leave a conversation on an upbeat so that you haven't burnt your bridges behind you if you get to a point where it's just too tense to continue civilly.
What happens is there's relationships that develop between the people who attend, between our the regulars who come to the Alliance. And those relationships are built upon mutual trust and respect. And you know that you're not going to be ridiculed, you're not going to be labeled, you're not going to hear a lot of shouting or bumper sticker mentalities, and there's really no gotcha. And that is understanding that we can, reasonable human beings can look at an event or current events, whatever it is, and come up with diametrically opposite opinions, and that's okay. That's healthy. But how we got there, I think that's a big part of you have to, it takes time. You have to share your life experiences. And this is why I view it through this lens as compared to someone else. So I just threw out a whole bunch of things there for you, but yeah. Amar.
Yeah, I think what I've noticed is that it's less about disagreement, which kind of makes a conversation go south, and more of if someone experiences a dignity violation, if someone feels like it's boiled down to a place where they're being attacked or where it's gotten so personal that like the baselines of conversation are being violated. So I feel like I'm a huge proponent of what I call a gupshup or a chit chat approach, which basically means that I really advocate the use of just having a conversation about anything and everything in general before moving to a more polarizing conversation. Just anything at all which like makes people look at each other and see each other, hear them out as the people they are, rather than the views or the parties or the banners they associate them with in their minds. And I feel like in order to make that possible, something which I've been noticing around me a lot, is that in order to make that possible, there needs to be that initial acceptance of having that conversation, as Shana mentioned. I've seen, it's so common for me to, when I'm like scrolling through my social media, in my Instagram feeds, there's so many people who put out messages like, if you hold XYZ view, please block me or I'll block you. Or if you belong to XYZ political group or anything at all. And I feel like that that's especially entrenched, or like that's especially pronounced when it comes to a big national event that happens. I think those can have that effect. But I feel like on the other hand, it's especially in events, like in big national events, when they happen, we need spaces like the ones Braver Angels creates to be able to get together and to have a civil conversation between people who disagree in their views but agree on being able to share them in a very civic manner.
What Amar said are really important. One is that no one wants to lose face. No one likes to be told that they're an idiot. No one likes to be attacked. You know, and one of the challenges in recruiting people to be part of Braver Angels activities is their fear that they will come and be ambushed, that they will come and be attacked, no matter what side they're on, right? And so one of the things that we've had to work really hard at is helping people understand they will not be attacked. This is not going to be allowed to happen.
Andrew, I think another point that I'd like to make in the time we have is we are not trying to convince anyone. No one comes to a Braver Angel meeting saying, I'm going to convert these crazy progressives to the conservative reality or vice versa. What we're getting at is acknowledging our shared humanity. And I think Amar touched on that very well, that's, and through that, building trust and relationships so that we can have respectful civil disagreement.
I was wondering, do you think, my sense of it is that up until about 25 or 30 years ago, dialogue like this seemed to be a little more, for lack of a better word, normal. I mean, I could bump into somebody, we would get into a political discussion and I'd say X and he'd say, well, that's ridiculous, I believe Y. But it was no big deal. It seems like in the last maybe even 10 or 15 years, that has hardened and become less possible to do or less easy. And I guess I just wonder, do you have any thoughts on why? How did we get to that place?
Social media.
I mean, I've seen the Great Recession of 2008 it pointed to as sort of a turning point where, you know, roads divided for people. Was that kind of the touchstone, do you think? Or is that sort of just one more marker
Social media and the absolute polarization of journalism, the lack of journalism in journalists who have integrity. That's my belief. I think it's that simple. Almost everyone are in their echo chambers, and it's a self-licking ice cream cone. They don't get exposed, and when they do get exposed to a different viewpoint, they immediately go to name calling, you know, and on both sides. But I'm talking the extremes left and right. That's my snapshot view.
I think sociologically, you know, there have been many studies that have shown that people are tending to group together, right? So as Dan said, it's not just, and I just want to elaborate that it's not just social media. It's where people choose to live, who they choose to live with, where they go to school, who they choose to go to school with, what kinds of professions they enter, how they monitor, you know, who else is in that profession. And a lot of those things are highly ideological. And have become highly ideological. And I think that there was a time in America where people were not as segregated by their belief systems as they are today. And, you know, one can speculate. I think to some extent there are mixes in religious settings, but not very many people enter religious settings anymore. And some religious settings are quite segregated ideologically as well. So, you know, there's no overriding, answer to this. But I think it is beyond social media. It is really about how people live their lives from start to finish and how the skills for civic discourse have really atrophied. You know, and it's interesting because that also television has been blamed for that as well. Right? That when television came, if you go back in that era and you listen to the dialogue that was taking place, many, many studies were done, you know, that before television, people sat on their front porches. And they talked to each other and they talked to their neighbors and they took walks in the evening and they visited with each other, right? That all went away largely with the advent of television, which was also seen as a cause for great disruption and atrophying of civic skills.
Yeah.
This isn't new.
I think what is new is the absolute division racially, the identity politics that is permeating our culture, where people are identified first by something that they have no ability to change and they didn't ask for. I didn't ask to be a white man. I am. But that's how, and it's arguably one of the least interesting things about me, but that's how I'm lumped into a category. And unfortunately, that's where I'm saying the social media tends to play to that. You're either in a group where you're a victim or an oppressor. And there's not a whole lot of in between. And I find that really alarming.
Well, I mean, to build on that, I think we've lost the middle in many dimensions. We've lost the middle economically, right? We've lost the middle socially. We've lost the middle politically. And I think, you know, in my mind, part of the mission and part of the reason I'm committed to Braver Angels is to bring back that middle, bring back that voice, right? Bring back the common ground, but also bring back the idea that there can be a middle. Things don't just exist on the extremes. In fact, most of us exist in the middle. And if you really look at it, most of us are neither 100% red nor 100% blue. Most of us have different political nuances depending on what the issue is under discussion. Mm-hmm. And that's almost completely obliterated by the kinds of things we've been talking about.
Yes.
I was wondering, when you have your meetings, and I suppose in the last year or so during the pandemic era, have they been like online on Zoom?
Much to Dan's incredible chagrin.
I despise Zoom. I am not a Luddite, but I'm not technologically adroit. So, and you miss so much of the interpersonal, the nuances, the body language, the little, all of those things. I miss that dearly.
I mean, do you do some kind of thing where you go, kind of go around the room and everybody sort of chime in about whatever the topic is? I'm just curious to know kind of how the format plays out so that you sort of break down, you know, whatever the barriers might be between people.
So that's a great question, Andrew. The format has really evolved over the years that we've been doing this. We began with an extremely structured format. I mean, the way that you prevent people from being attacked and being belittled is to make really safe structures in the space. So if we simply got together half reds and half blues and put a question on the table and said, well, let's just talk about this, I can guarantee you it would not have been effective and it would not have been pretty. We spent, you know, much of our time learning the skills for engaging in civic discourse and then structuring the way we address topics so that there were no attacks, so that that was not a possibility. Now, our group is at the point where I wouldn't say we've mastered those skills, but we're pretty good. You know, we're on a scale of, you know, of 0 to 10, you know, we're up there between a 7 and an 8, right? We do pretty well. And we, you know, every so often something happens, but, you know, we do pretty well. And that means that we're able more to say, this is our topic, let's talk, let's go at it this way. But there's still a structure.
So the way I'm planning it in sort of for the future with like the latter part of this year, like starting from the fall, I'm going to start putting some things together where people can actually have the opportunity of getting together as well. Hopefully by the time a lot of us are vaccinated too, so that we can enjoy all of those interpersonal physical connections as Dan was talking about. And so the ways to email me, my email is muhammadamar@bennington.edu. But I think on the other hand, since we were talking a little bit about Zoom and how the pandemic has changed these structures, I feel like personally, like I'm sure Shana and Dan as organizers have had a lot of difficulty around it. But personally, I feel like without the pandemic or without this whole Zoom structure, I probably wouldn't have been as connected as I am right now.
We have just a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to ask, go back to Franklin County there and just ask you, what are some of your next steps? Are there upcoming meetings that you have planned or topics that you see as kind of top of the list? What are some of the next steps that you have coming up?
Well, our very next step will be to plan our next dialogue, which we haven't done yet because we're waiting to figure out who's going to be vaccinated and, you know, 2 weeks out from their second vaccination and safe to get together and when that's going to happen, because we really would love to get together in person, but we don't want to leave anyone out. And so we're trying to figure that out. And our topics come about by polling our members, you know, asking them what the topics are of interest. And then Dan and I get together as co-organizers and figure out what topic we're going to choose. And then we bring it to the meeting. So in other words, the topics are not developed in advance. And the group asked very early on and has not changed their minds to not be told any of the topics in advance, because they don't want people to come kind of armed for bear around a specific topic. And, you know, so that's how we do it. So I can't tell you what the topics are that are top of list, because that's not how it works. And I can't tell you exactly when, because that, That's what we're doing. I will say that we did just complete our second virtual training, and I hope and expect that we will offer more of them. We don't have a date set for the next one, but if people want to contact us at braverangelsfc@gmail.com, FC for Franklin County, we will put them on our mailing list and let them know when the next training is coming up. Those have been very successful and very fun. We had, I think, 40 people, 50 people at the first one, and
we had over 80, 60 showed up for the first one. We've trained over 100 people in two events, yeah. Which is really and one of the things we decided to do it on our own. And National will assist you, but we wanted to run it within our alliance, and we actually. Yeah, pulled it off. It was great.
I think on those lines, something which I notice about Shana and Dan and the people working in Franklin County, and in my opinion, why it's been so successful as well, is how closely connected both Shana and Dan are with each other, and how they were able to find two people across this partisan divide who were both interested in depolarizing their community and in helping people. Helping bring people together to have the civic dialogue. And one of the barriers kind of that I'm facing right now in Bennington County is that Shana's neighbor was Dan, but my neighbor is the other person from my dorm. And I'm going to like a small liberal arts college where people are very diverse, but share more or less similar political beliefs. And so one of the biggest challenges that I'm encountering is how do I go about finding someone whose views are, as Dan said, diametrically opposed to mine, but who's still interested in bringing people together and having civic dialogue. And I feel like for the viewers of, for your audience who are watching this as well, if there's anyone who would be willing to help volunteer create such spaces, they can always reach out to me. I shared my email before. I can put it out again. It's Muhammad Amar, MUHAMMAD AMMAR @bennington.edu. So I'm just looking forward to working with people regardless of whatever views they hold, except for one essential view, which I'm looking for, which is that they're willing to have people come together and engage in a very civic manner with each other, just like what the folks in Franklin County have been doing.
Well, this is a conversation we could easily extend well beyond this, but we're going to have to leave it there for today, folks. I want to thank you all very much for making the time to talk about this very important subject, one that's also been very frustrating to watch over the past few years. Shauna Ratner, Dan Pipes, Muhammad Amar, thank you all very much for being with us today. We'll certainly share that contact information. So if folks who are watching this, we're also feeling like the time for more civic engagement, more civil discourse is at hand. They can reach out to you all and join the team.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.